Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. So today I have a really exciting guest, and it's funny because I love interviewing Jennifers. One of the things that I love about this particular guest is that she's an active real estate agent, realtor, if you want to say it that way. She's an active real estate agent, and it's something that we need to hear on Mortgage Lending Mastery, whether you are listening as a real estate agent, a title company, an insurance agent, or a mortgage loan officer. What she has to say, I think, is really important for this particular time of year as we are approaching the end of 2021 for this particular podcast to really do some resetting, right? Do some resetting. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Jennifer Sino Tucker. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is the associate broker and vice president of business development at Exit Realty in New York, in Long Island, as we just talked about. And she is the co-creator of the 7 Saturdays training program specifically for real estate agents. She's an international best-selling author of the book Rockstar Real Estate Agent: 7 Steps to Make $100,000 a Year and Awake from the Darkness. And maybe you'll have some stats on this too for us, Jennifer. She's obviously a President's Club member and of the Sandler Selling System, which is amazing because I just introduced this to my coaching group and they never heard of Sandler Selling. And so we went over all the triangles, although I have a very old version of the triangle. So a clean version would be nice if you have one. It's like 7 generations old. And as a thank you to her clients, a portion of her personal commission is donated to a charity, and she's contributed over $25,000 since the inception to make a difference in the world. So we welcome you to the show, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you bet, Jen. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, we won't say third time's a charm, but second time's a charm getting you on the show.
Yes.
I thought maybe today we'd have to go for a third, but I'm really, really excited to talk to you about your path and how you got to where you are in the real estate business. So give us a little background on you and bring us forward to where you are right now. And then we'll start talking a little bit about some of the strategies you're using to be a successful real estate agent.
Yeah, I mean, born and raised here in New York, had some stints out west in Illinois and Wyoming, but always seemed to make it back to where family is. Took a traditional route through high school and college and earned my master's degree in education and was teaching in the city school districts for about 8 years and realized that this was not working. I wasn't really happy. I'm a real leader and go-getter, and having red X's next to my reports that I would hand in to my administrators was not for me. I needed more checks and stars. But I realized that it was ultimately the time constraint that the 8-to-5 kind of job held on me that really wasn't making me happy. So I needed a little bit more freedom. Went into my own children's fitness business as my background's in health education, and was playing with prospecting and wasn't really successful at it, didn't know what I was really doing. That's when I started with Sandler and his training program, but had a mentor as well that realized that I needed to push myself even more and find the right fit. And real estate was the way for me to go, since my mom was in real estate at the time for 25 years. So I became her right-handed man and just did all the running and became her buyer's agent and really took off her business to a point where I needed to stretch my own wings and go my own route. And here I am now training other agents and still being successful and profitable in the business as well.
Yeah. I love hearing the story about you got into the quicksand. Both my son and daughter have both been in the mortgage business. My son no longer, but my daughter is in it now with my husband. Mm-hmm. And she just fought it tooth and nail, and now she's in it and she loves it. And I said, you're going to get in it. I swear you're going to get in. So I think that's great that you did and got in. And it's amazing because there's so many real estate agents that do come from teaching. And I don't know why that transition happens, because there's a variety of topics that are taught, math and English, and in your case, physical education. I don't know why that transition tends to happen, but I'm glad it does. You know, I think it's really, really great. So let's talk about some of your trials and tribulations as you were starting out. And granted, you had, you know, a mentor right with you, but what stumbling blocks did you have that were different from perhaps her stumbling blocks?
I think the stumbling blocks that I had was in 2012 when I came into the industry. It was, I look back at it now, it was very transitional, right? Were we staying on paper, or were we moving to the internet and doing more social media in an aspect? And I think that's where that was kind of different, where I consider myself more of this hybrid kind of agent where I still do both types of prospecting. And that's where I stumbled, because I was used to more pen and paper and I learned better more on pen and paper, but my buyers and my clients were already on the internet. So I had to do a little bit of catching up to find out who they were and what they were doing and looking for at the time. I'd say that would really be the first stumbling block. And then the second one was really time. You know, how do I manage and juggle my time as a single parent with a 6-year-old at home? That was really one of the biggest struggles as well.
Yeah. So it's interesting because both of those issues are still issues today for a lot of real estate agents, and certainly for loan officers too. There's a lot of juggling. There's a lot of priority management, right? And I wonder why that just continues to be an issue. I love listening to what Brian Buffini says, get into real estate because the sky's the limit, but they forget to tell you the floor is there too. You could fall through the floor. And we get all of this, I was going to say power. It's not really power, but we get, wow, I have all this time, but we're used, and we hated that 9-to-5, right? Or that 8-to-5,
right.
Hated it. Yet when we get this freedom, we don't really know what to do with it, right?
Yeah, we don't know. I think, we're so used to it. And it's so ironic because you have all this freedom, like you're saying, and we're used to the 9-to-5 and what we do. Like in my situation, it was okay, classes from 9 to 9:45. And then you have another one from 9:15 to 9:45, right? Something like that. And in real estate, it's actually the same thing in what you need to do. It just becomes a matter of prioritizing and figuring out what works best for you in the morning and in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a morning person. I'm up at 5 and I do everything. So to prospect from 8 to 10 worked for me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the key is prospecting, right? And not making sure that you're sitting back and not leaning into your business and knowing what to do. And so I know clarity is one of the things that is, I know you don't use that word. I use it in my coaching, but you use premise and purpose strategy, right? Is knowing why in the heck am I getting up every morning and why am I doing this? So before we get into those 7 strategies, because we won't be able to talk about all of them, but when you think about the market that we're in right now, and so many people obviously have had the best year ever last year and kind of trickled into this year a little bit, but it's starting to get a little stifled. And granted, there are always exceptions, right? But generally, there's a little stifling that's going on is how do I get more listings? How do I get more buyers? The sellers have stopped selling. They don't really want to sell as much anymore. And so how do I be the straw that stirs the market? So talk to us a little bit about that, because we have loan officers and real estate agents listening here, and the loan officers are obviously saying, how can I help my realtors? And the realtors are saying, how can I help me? Give us some strategies on what you think you would be doing right now, and perhaps what you are doing to really be the straw that stirs the market as we head into this new year.
My straw is always pretty simple that stirs everything. And especially this time during the year, it's all about the community and the market that you work in. We really need to be reaching out. And I know it's a bad thing to say, and we're still wearing masks here and there, depending upon where you are. I'm still going out, shaking hands and kissing babies and meeting people. And I think that simplistic one-on-one meeting people still goes a long way, even through COVID. There's no replacing a personal interaction with someone. Our businesses are built upon relationships. So why are we not going out there and creating more of them?
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm telling you that it's amazing you say this, because I was just having a conversation with a company that I'm going to be speaking at their sales rally, and it's a mortgage company. And they said, are relationships really important anymore? Because that's how I grew my practice. It's how I still have other businesses that I run. It's all relationship driven. Of course, there's this discussion. I remember way back in like the 95 or something, 94, I would say high tech, high touch, right? It was like a big thing to say. And I still think it's that way. I still think it's high tech and I still think it's high touch. But why do you think that so many people are leaning to high tech and really relying on it? There's realtor.com and Zillow.com. There's HomeBot. There's all kinds of social media, and everyone's really just gravitating to that and using that, in my opinion, as an excuse to not have one-to-one conversations. Why do you think that that's happening? And yet, here you are, a top producer. I was a top producer. Everybody I talked to is top producers. Still relationships. Why do you think that happens?
It's simpler not to have a connection with someone.
Low-hanging fruit? Although
low-hanging fruit, yeah, yeah.
If you get it.
Exactly. You don't have to be emotionally invested, right? Even in the metaverse, right? As we're buying, you know, digital real estate, you don't have to be emotionally invested. You can sit in your space and have a transaction. So to me, that's playing on the not real world that's out there. We still need to be real and authentic and be true to the people and service, right? That's where it comes into. Service takes a lot of energy out of us. To be a companion and an advisor to someone takes a lot of energy. And I think someone who doesn't want to be invested really just makes it simpler by not going out there and building those relationships and staying on social media makes it easier for them.
Yeah. Do you think that obviously there's exceptions to the rule? I know loan officers that are killing it with online lead generation. I know real estate agents who are doing the same thing. There's obviously exceptions, but from a statistical perspective, where is the real win in that? Because I even hear, my husband was just telling me a title company is putting together a social media class. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sick of social media classes, right? Because it's just not working. But statistically, I'm not saying it's not working for exposure, but for the average real estate agent, they're not making a killing being online.
No.
Right?
No.
What do you think the statistic is that where are real estate agents going wrong or maybe even loan officers going wrong and trying to, I feel like it's just like crawling uphill in sand, right? Where they're just constantly saying, hey, we have to do social media. That's how you're going to make it. From a statistic perspective, where's the myth in this that yes, it's important, but you're not going to make the money you really want to make?
Right. That's kind of hard to say. I would say probably 1 out of 10 agents, even on my side, are really killing it and making it their thing or their go-to prospecting method or lead gen. So it has to be something that you're comfortable with. And I'm seeing more and more 40 to 50 year olds, right, coming into the business, right? It's their second job and they think they're going to transition out of their paycheck into real estate to earn more of a passive income, but they realize that it's more active and they're not on social media. They're not there because they're in that 9-to-5 and they're not paying attention to those things. So yeah, I think if you're going to focus on something, you have to do one thing and do it right and do it the best that you can.
Yeah. That's a great message to say. Yeah, great message there.
Just do one thing. Stop diverting. I mean, everyone's like all over the place. Oh, I'm in print. I'm in social media. I'm on YouTube. Pick one thing, focus on it, grow it, and then you can expand.
And be the expert in it. Yeah. You know, I always say that too, is like, if you market to everybody, you're marketing to nobody. And niching is really important. We've talked about that. And I won't go into all that today because that's a big soapbox for me. I think a lot of people are afraid of niching. They feel like they have to cast a big net. And really, it's just so diluted when it happens. What do you think is your greatest strength and your gift that maybe isn't easy for others?
It's identifying people's personalities very quickly. In the snapshot, I use the DISC personality profile to really identify who they are very quickly, just based upon how they're dressed or what they're wearing or how they're speaking. And a lot of people don't realize how much this psychology is important in sales. And it's a quick moment that we have, even if it's on the phone, for you to identify who that person is.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So what's your DISC profile?
I'm a high DC.
DC. Yeah. I was going to say there's definitely C in you. I was thinking there might be an S in you.
Maybe because I'm home and I'm around the kids a little bit more. Definitely a DC. And my I and S are almost non-existent.
Wow. So for us, the two of us talking here today, you're probably going, oh my God, she's so like overexcited and over whatever, because my I is off the chart.
Right.
But it's outside of the circle. My eye is that high. And it is the new profiling, you know, that Tony Robbins is doing. My eye is off the circle. And it's okay. That's how I am. And my secondary is a D, obviously, but it's not a high D like it used to be. I used to steamroll over everybody, climbing the corporate ladder and all that.
I think my D, and maybe you're picking up on my S, my D has slowly kind of come down. So I understand.
I think that just happened. With tenure and age and all
that. Yes, as I was about to say, as we age, I think it kind of softens a little.
Right, a little bit. Yeah, that's interesting. And for those of you that are listening, and obviously everybody's listening, but as you're listening to this, if you haven't done your DISC profile, please make sure you do it. I use tonyrobbins.com/DISC. I don't know. I think it's like $90 now or something. You definitely want to pay for it and get the full side. But yeah, that is a strategy that we used. It's ironic that you said that because everybody on my team knew we didn't just do a DISC profile to hire somebody and,
right.
and then put it in a, you know, in a drawer. We used it all the time mm-hmm. and we used it with our clients. We had a big DISC, whatever it was for the spouse and the primary so that everybody knew how to communicate with them. Because I'm the kind of person I use emojis, wouldn't I? Because I'm an
eye. Of course, you're an eye.
So I'm a big emoji user, but that doesn't resonate with someone who's a C. They're like, where are the facts? Don't play games with me, right? And give me the details. So I think that's wonderful. And I think it's important for everybody to know what their gift is. So let's kind of talk about how your 7 steps to this rock star real estate agent. I love the book and we'll have the link for the book as well so people can pick that up. But what of those 7 steps, let's talk about 2 of them. So as you're thinking through them, mm-hmm. which 2 you think would be the most prominent that someone could use in today's market? And I want you to think about the fact that most of the people listening are loan officers. And so I want you to kind of relate that, if you don't mind, relate that to how a loan officer could take what you're about ready to say and help their real estate agent grow their business.
That's good. Okay. I think the first step in any growth is really having a vision of your life and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean your career and your financials and what those numbers are. I think it's having this more and what I call more of a holistic approach to business and seeing what you really want your life to look like emotionally, spiritually, your family life, your career and financials, your health and fitness life, mm-hmm. creating this vision board or vision plan. I use a vision book, literally outline 12 areas of my life that I wanted to grow and flourish with. How has that helped real estate agents? I think from a mortgage broker perspective is asking those questions about your agents. How's your family? What have you guys been doing? Was there anything I can do to support you reach the goal of you going on vacation to Hawaii this year? Mm-hmm. What can I do? So that, I think that would be most helpful. Yeah. For any real estate agent and the broker.
Yeah. I think that's good. That's, you know, the Frog and Ford method, right? Family, mm-hmm. recreation, occupation goals. If we're having that conversation, and I think with anybody, I think that's important even with clients is, how's your family?
Sure.
Tell us about what you love to do, right? What are some of the goals you have and what do you do for a living? Yeah, I think that's really good. And you know, and I do think that that takes us away from the traditional conversation of showing up and throwing up and telling about products, et cetera, that those exactly. need to cease and desist mm-hmm. and now move that into more of that relationship. So, okay. So that's one good thing is really digging into what is the realtor wanting to really to accomplish in their life? And how can I support them in that effort? So that's 1. What else would you suggest as part of your 7 in really helping real estate agents grow their business?
I think we kind of touched upon it, and it's really just setting out a block plan of your day, mm-hmm. right? In order for us to meet those financial numbers, we need to know annually what our income wants to look like. So we need to break that down into active and passive activities that we're going to be doing on a quarterly, monthly, weekly, and daily basis. So a reverse engineering of what your year looks like.
Yeah, we do that a lot. We mm-hmm. do that a lot in what we're doing. I mean, I was talking with a real estate agent. I coach some realtors and we were talking about that yesterday, really taking it down to every day, how much do you mm-hmm. need to make? And so in order to make that every day, and not that you close a business every day, but every day, how much do you need to make and really right. reverse engineer that into how many people do you need to pique the interest of? And mm-hmm. what does that conversion look like to get an opportunity to present to them? And then right. how many of those do you close? Meaning they're in your system, right? That they're a potential client. And how many referral partners are you looking for too? So you don't feel like you're just this island out there.
Yeah, creating a dirty dozen and people that you want to be in contact with who can refer you business. How many of those do you want to have in your sphere? I totally get it. I mean, at one point, I think I was even breaking it down with some of my coaching clients too. What am I worth per hour?
Yes. And we went that far. We went that far with her. Mm-hmm. I said, you just add the hourly in here. because she just has a lot of, you know, I think what happens is when this particular person is a broker owner and she's very involved in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And she said, you know, everybody just wants to pick my brain. And I said, well, you need to get a pickyourbrain.com and link that to a Calendly. And there it has a $500 fee. Right. Because that's how much you're worth. And if someone doesn't want to meet with you, then oh well, right? You save $500. So as I was looking at the seven, one of the ones that I'd like to talk about is, well, there's two actually. One is removing obstacles for growth. Can you expand on that a little bit in obstacles for growth?
Yeah, obstacles for me are people. People who aren't going to help you get to the point or support you in any way. I'm starting to really pick up on like bad or negative energy that you're able to realize that this isn't going to help me. And if it makes sense, I really might have to fire a client as well. And that's definitely a hard thing to do. I think in the beginning as real estate agents, you know, who are starting out or within their first 2 years, that can be difficult because we want to please everyone. But pleasing everyone doesn't mean sacrificing yourself. And by those obstacles, I mean, even putting yourself, taking yourself out of the equation, because it's all about the client in front of you. And that's where the disc kind of helps because we're able to camouflage or mirror the person who we're in front of.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that's really good. And so I call that working with people that complement, not complicate. They complicate me, my team, my life, something, they're out. They're just out. And it's hard because when I make that kind of comment, if you're listening to this, right, and as you're listening, you're going, well, aren't you a little stinker, right? But you do get to a point in your career where you just can't, you know, you just don't have infinite energy and you have to do that. The second piece to that is being on demand versus being in demand. And in the early years, and hopefully not forever, you do play that role of being on demand. I want to be there to serve people. I'm hungry. I want to make things happen, as you call it, right? And I want to be there, but it's really hard later on to change the vernacular there.
Yes.
So tell us about that. What's the tipping point? You said 1 to 2 years, but what's that tipping point that realtors need to hear and know that they're at that point where they need to be making those decisions?
That's a good question. I think that really comes into those decisions need to be made when you start looking at yourself, not as a realtor, but as a business. When we brand the business and we incorporate ourselves and we are the CEO of our brand. So we need to be not always working in it, but on it and vice versa. And there becomes a time frame that you're willing to do that, where you have to tell people no, because in order for your business to grow, you need to hear a yes or a no and not a maybe. And it might make sense for you to tell others the same.
I love, and I'm going to bring up Brian Buffini again. He says something, don't sit on the fence with everybody because you'll get splinters. Either you're a yes or a no, just but don't be a maybe.
Yeah, the wishy-washy words always get in the middle. And, you know, we're looking for commitments here. We're always trying to set up these upfront contracts. So be the person who sets the agenda for the contract to be made.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, second one, and then this will be the last one. And then I have another question for you. But you talk about a lot about a farming area. So I was surprised when I saw that because I just haven't heard that from realtors lately because they're focused on online. They're not bringing those relationships offline. Tell us a little bit more about that and how, you know, again, loan officers can help people, but as well as how realtors could do something different in farming than the traditional send out a bunch of cards.
Yeah, I hate those cards. I get them every week from my local realtor. And I'm like, no, we have to do something different. I still farm. Like I said, I'm more of this hybrid agent because it works for me, right? And I chose a neighborhood that I was familiar with, that I grew up in, that I already had existing relationships in. Whether that's you sold a home to, or, you know, you helped a buyer find that home, you already have a relationship in that neighborhood. The difference in my farming is that I follow up. I go knocking on the door. I still do. It's more specific and it's not just random cold calling, but it is the neighborhood, or I'm knocking on the door of someone who I know has a relationship 2-3 times removed that I'm going to go say, hey, how are things going? You know, by the way, here's this chocolate box or something like that. And it seems silly, but I can't tell you how much a $6 chocolate box has landed me a listing.
I know, isn't it crazy? And people will say, well, that seems like it's old and antiquated and whatever, but it's not. It's not. It's amazing. What do you say? So for this is for the new real estate agent who says, okay, I have to farm some kind of area. Let me find, you know, a neighborhood I'm comfortable with. It might be where they live, right?
Yep, of course.
Help us with a little scripting here. What do they say when they knock on the door?
Depends on who it is, but it's something like you're introducing yourself. By the way, were you looking to move anytime soon? And they usually say no. I right. said, oh, that's okay. And I usually come up with like 2 to 3 buffer questions, something like to kind of disarm them, because you're knocking on the door and they're like, especially here in New York, they're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing knocking on my door? Nobody does that anymore, right?
Unless no one does that, right?
Well, not even Girl Scouts anymore.
Exactly. They're selling online. I don't know how they sell as many cookies as they do. But yeah, then I have like 2 or 3 disarming questions like, oh, how long have you lived here? Do you have any relatives or neighborhoods? And then I kind of go back and if you were to move, where would you move to? And they tell me, usually it's Florida here in New York these days. And okay, well, when will that be? So now I have a time frame, you know, for me to kind of follow up. Is it okay if I get your email and we stay connected? And it's just something simple as that.
I love that. And I call that real estate under management, because basically what's happening, we know statistically from NAR, right, that 13%, well, I'll do the other side. 87 or 83% of clients said they would use their original real estate agent, but only 13% do because they can't remember their name. They were great. They were really good, but I can't remember their name because real estate agents don't usually follow up after the closing. There you go. Transactional, right?
Right.
And so it's an opportunity for you to now manage their real estate for them, give them timely updates on what trends are, what's happening in the area, you know, and
that's where that social media comes into play. I come back home, I know who they are, right? And I might like or follow them or put them in a group on my social media. And I'm more of a Facebook fan than anything else, because that's where my clients are. It's just the people that I mostly work with are on Facebook as opposed to any other platform. And yeah, it becomes a relationship and an email follow-up and now a phone call, because that can be retrieved these days if you really want to invest in some other programs too.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like work.
Yes. But the nice part about it, Jen, and so I'm sure you know, as the more work you do in the beginning, the less you do as you go on through your real estate career. I mean, by year 8, I'll be honest, was I definitely working 8 to 12 hour days? Year 1 to 5, yes. Did it slow down a little bit from 5 to 8? Yes. And now I'm just coasting where I'm meeting or working, quote unquote, maybe 2 hours a day.
Yeah. And I said that facetiously because you'd said, that's the thing. It requires work. I heard someone say to me, there's no such thing as a discount to success. Mm. Hey, can I get that discount, that magic bullet to success? There is no such thing as a discount to success. And even in my success, you know, over my career, it was a lot of work in the beginning. You know, Les Brown says, if you'll do what's hard, your life will be easy. But if you do what's easy, your life will be hard.
That is so true. So true.
That's it. If you want to skim along the water forever, you're probably going to skim along the water forever and you're not going to be in the business for a long term. So what's left on your bucket list?
I really have everything I want these days. I have to be honest. Do you want more material? No. The one thing I would say what's left on my bucket list is to travel in an RV through the country and still be able to work remotely in that sense. I want to be able to take the kids out and us just as a family kind of travel. I should have taken advantage of it during COVID, but I was super busy and it was one of my best years. That seems nearly impossible.
Right. Hopefully you have it scheduled for
2022. not yet, but I think 2023, it could happen.
Yeah, that's great. So you have coaching for real estate agents. Let's talk about that a little bit. What does the coaching program look like? I mean, of course, we'll have links below so that people can have a strategy session with you or meet with you to find out if your coaching is good for them. But tell us a little bit about what it looks like. Is it a year? Is it an 8-week program? Is it group? Is it private? What does it look like?
Yeah, it's a 9-week program where we really go over and go into details where someone needs help and assistance. And we utilize those 7 steps or in the 9 weeks for them to kind of really build their business.
That's great. That's great. And it's group, right? You had said something about
Yeah, there's a small group. Largest has been 5. It's just not conducive to the agent to get more than 5 in a group.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good. So group calls with homework assignments.
Group calls, of course, homework assignments, some, and then a bi-weekly one-on-one with me.
All right, great. Yeah, no, that sounds good. And I use the word homework in my coaching as well, but it's not really homework. It's what we should be doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's the work we need to put in.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. So Jennifer, is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with?
I think we feel like we covered everything, but I think listeners and real estate agents out there know that they already have the skills and tools in place for them to be prosperous and live a financially freeing life.
That's awesome. So it's just putting them into action.
Yeah. I think it's that agent or mortgage lender, broker, really knowing who they are and tapping into that inner person and their why as to the reason they're actually in the business.
Yeah. I think that's important. And the answer is not money. I hate to say it, but you
never
know,
money.
Why are you in the business to make money? If that is, you probably won't succeed.
Right. I don't think your best even car salespersons are in it for money. There's definitely another alternative reason for them to be in that place.
Yeah. And thing is, if you don't focus on the money and you focus on serving people, you will make the money. I promise.
The money just kind of comes, right?
Because
to me, when you're doing God's work, it does take a lot of money and he understands that. So he's going to be able to give you what you need.
I love that. I love that. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of this really great information. I hope that these loan officers that are listening are taking copious notes and re-listening to this again. And the real estate agents that are listening say, hey, I want some more information. Tell me a little bit more about how I could help you. Now, here's another thing I'm going to give to everybody is that if you're a real estate or a loan officer and you're listening to this, find out more about the coaching program, because what you could do is work with Jennifer to bring five people on for her and be the straw that stirs up that market for them. But bring these people on and participate and bring more value to your real estate agents and go through the class with them so that you have more value. So if you're thinking about that, you've got five real estate agents that you say, hey, you know what? Maybe I could bring them into this class and Jennifer would consider doing a separate class for you guys. How much value you're bringing to that is just incredible.
So, that would be huge. Yeah. I mean, if a mortgage broker came up to me and said, hey, I want to bring five people on, I would love that. I would definitely appreciate that as well.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, listen, everyone, thank you so much for listening and taking time out of your day. I know there's so many people that send me texts and emails and say, you know, I was listening to you while I was on an airplane and I was listening to you when I was here, there and yonder. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time to listen. And I hope that I'm providing as much value as I possibly can in the time that we have together. And I just want to remind you to please subscribe to my YouTube channel, as well as subscribing to this podcast if you're not subscribed to it. And please take a few minutes to give us a great 5-star rating and write a quick review, a review about the podcast generally, a review about this particular podcast, about what you loved about what Jennifer had to say. And I just want to say thank you again for listening in. And Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, Jen, thanks so much for having me. It was great.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.